7 to 14 to 25. My prayer is that it will make sense. And I think as we read this portion of Scripture, we could probably identify or put ourselves in this Scripture, this verses, because we all go through struggles. And I think sometimes we go through more struggles than what seems to be easy times, right? I think sometimes we go through struggles, and what goes through our mind when we go through a struggle? Do we question if God's there? Do we question what goes through our mind? So he wants to teach you something. Wonder what you've done? Yeah? Sometimes we question, am I really saved? Because sometimes you're like, if I was a believer, why am I? If I'm a believer, why am I doing the same things I would probably do when I'm a non-believer? Sometimes we have this battle within ourselves. And so as we look at this scripture, I know we have it up there. We can read it together. But we just thank you that you are a merciful and gracious God. And I pray that today, Father, that by your Spirit, that you would just speak to our hearts. And Lord, that you would help us to grow and to surrender whatever it is that we need to surrender or ought to surrender. Lord, that our walk with you get richer and deeper. And Father, that we would know you more and desire you more. Lord, help us to be the children you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So living the life of a follower of Christ involves facing both conflict and struggle. Sometimes we don't like conflict, nor do we like to struggle. Right? It's not really in us. We don't like to struggle. We don't like conflict. Usually for conflict, we try to avoid conflicts, try to go the other way. But what happens when you face conflicts and struggles? You start to grow. The Holy Spirit reveals things in our lives that we ought to deal with. And also when we have conflicts and struggles, it shows you maybe where you are being reliant on yourself rather than reliant on God, rather than being reliant on the Holy Spirit to help you through those circumstances. Yeah. Yeah. So we wallow in our self-pity. Yeah. So we really put our focus on ourselves rather than looking to God and saying, Lord, help me not to look at myself. Help me to depend on you. And I know in the struggles, I think about life has struggles. We face things every day. We're always being confronted with things in this world. We're confronted with the Word of God and what the Word of God says and how we ought to die to self, to trust Him, rely on Him. There's a struggle. And we know that there's a struggle. So I know sometimes with these struggles, there are those who would say it's impossible to live the Christian life and simply give up and quit. You know, sometimes when people come to know the Lord and it's bliss for the first little bit, and they have some troubles and difficulties, and they go, where's God in this? I thought things were supposed to get easier. Right? And then soon your joy leaves. So as you become a new believer, you see a lot of times new believers have all this joy and they're overflowing. And then next thing you know, they get overwhelmed with life. We get overwhelmed with life. But then sometimes we look at it, it's like, who am I trusting? Am I trying to do this in my own strength? Am I trying to do this in my own power? And we get frustrated. Because I think when we realize when we do things in our own strength, we get frustrated. We get tired. We get weary. And I think as we trust the Holy Spirit, He's the one that works in our hearts. He's the one that makes it easier. Because I'm not trying to do it. I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to transform my life. And as we surrender to Him, things get easier. Even though you go through difficult times. Does that make sense? Sometimes we realize when we go through struggles, difficulties, who is the one at the control of the wheel? And who is the one that we are dependent on? Sometimes we try to do things in our own strength, because how many of us we know we have a will? Sometimes we have a very strong will. And with some of us are athletic, we know we could power through it. We could do this on my own strength. I could do this. I got it. Right? But then we realize when there's no other place to run, we eventually go to the Lord. After all the frustration, I would say after the hair pulling. Right? And then we think, there are those who have a genuine desire to live a life that is pleasing to God. And they might go through discouragement. But they never look at themselves to help. They don't try and get through it. I don't know. We'll just read Romans 7-14. It says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I'm doing, I am not understanding. You could probably agree. For what I will do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If I do what I do not do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that it's in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. But now to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, do not do, but the evil I will not do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Then I find a law that evil is present within me, the one who finds to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who would deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I think sometimes when he's talking about how sin is revealed in our lives, and the law magnifies it. It really points it out. And I think sometimes when we I heard it really illuminates the sin in our lives. To say that we don't struggle with things as a believer would be a lie. Right? I think sometimes we like to put on this mask and come to church and say, I don't struggle with anything. Everything's fine today. Everything's going good. I got this. But then who are we lying to? We all face struggles. We all go through difficulty. We all have a desire to serve a holy and righteous God, to live a life that honors Him. But then there's something in us, the old nature, the old man, who doesn't want to live according to the Word of God. We have this new nature, and we come as a child, when we become a child of God, we have this new nature who desires to serve God, to love Him and adore Him, to do things for Him out of love and admiration, not for salvation, but we have this love for Him. So now we have two natures in conflict in our lives. Does that make sense? Right? We have that. And here comes this frustration. Paul, as a believer, he knew the law. He was a Pharisee. He knew it. But then when he came to Christ, he wrote 13 of the Gospels. And he still struggled with things in his life. And so how much more do we struggle with things in our own life? And don't get despaired. It's like, oh, wretched man I am. But he finishes it, Christ. He's the only one that can deliver me from this wretchedness. Like the law exposed it, our sinfulness. It's God's holy word. It illuminates our sin, which it makes us really like, Lord, I don't want to do this. But my love for you, I want to serve you wholeheartedly. We have this battle within our lives. There's a frustration that builds. And we get frustrated. I had an analogy last time. I remember a cat and dog. Because Harry wasn't here, I was picking on about a cat and how cats are very self-centered things. It's all about them. Cats are very self-sufficient. Cats are very, look at me, kind of want to be in the highlight, independent. And I use the analogy of a dog. A dog is very loyal. A dog will follow the master. He wants to make the master happy. He's willing to do anything for the master. And sometimes we have this battle within our own lives of which animal are we feeding? But the good news is about God's grace. We're no longer under the law. We're under His grace, but that doesn't give us the right to keep on sinning. Because then we use God's grace in vain. That's what we're not. 2 Corinthians 6:1 says, do not use God's grace in vain. We're not supposed to continue in our sin, but cry out to God and say, Lord, help me and deliver me from this sin. Help me, Lord, to have a different mindset. So we have this frustration as believers. In this frustration, the believers are not supposed to hang out in frustration. It's not a place for the believer. It's a place where believers, we shouldn't be stagnant in frustration. We shouldn't be. It's like, Lord, I have this sin in my life. Lord, I'm tired of trying to do it on my own. Lord, I wanted to surrender to you. I want to lay at the foot of the cross. When we get saved, Well, we overcome our sin because of Christ. And then through the walk, our walk out with Christ is a sanctification, dealing with ongoing sin and being sanctified from our sin. But there's always going to be a battle in our own flesh until the day we are taken home to be with our Heavenly Father. And at that moment, when we are in heaven, we will not be in the presence of sin any longer. We will not have any sin in us. Our minds will be pure. We have pure thoughts and never have to worry about sin until never again. And I think as we walk as a believer in Christ, the ongoing process of sanctification, and it's dealing with the sin that's in our lives at times. Hopefully it's making sense. You know, after we become a follower of Christ, you know, adopted in the family of God, he gives us a new nature. And this is what the new nature is frustrating, because it doesn't like sin. It hates sin. It detests sin. And as a follower of Christ, we should be hating sin more and more all the time. We see the sin in this world, we should be really hating more and more of what's of the world. Of all that sin and debauchery in the world, we should be hating it more and more. We should not be trying to get into it, but we should hate it more because of the new nature in us. And he gives us new desires, a new attitude. And he sets us free from the dominion of sin. He gives us a desire to live a holy life, a righteous life, a desire to become more like Christ. And there's this frustration because we know what the new nature is all about. He's given us the new nature, but yet sometimes we fall back to the old nature. There's that battle. The old nature loves sin. It loves the old habits. It's easy to fall into the old habits. But am I willing to die to the old? That's the thing. It's like, am I willing to do that? Lord, and only you and God, is between you and God. It's like, but the Holy Spirit will point out things in our lives that ought to be dealt with. At times I feel frustrated because I thought I've grown tremendously since I received Christ. I feel that I have not grown enough where I should be in my walk with the Lord. Maybe that's sometimes what we go through in our minds. Like, I've been with the Lord. I feel frustrated because I know I should be further ahead, but I feel like I'm at square one. So as we embark upon the things for the Lord, I think we fumble. I know I've fumbled many times. At times I don't understand, and it doesn't mean that I'm going backwards. It means I'm standing still, because the Lord is trying to deal with something in my own life. And how do I desire, and what do I do with that? Do I run and hide, or do I say, well, it's because it's Satan. Satan's trying to do this to my life, but God's trying to expose things in our lives. He desires us to live holy and righteous lives, to die to the old, and to put on the new man, to be crucified. So which flesh are we feeding? Only you know. God knows. And yet we can put on this, you know, happy face on Sunday. Once we go behind closed doors, things happen. The Holy Spirit will reveal enough to keep us moving forward. He will only give us enough to help us keep moving, so we aren't stagnant, so we're not staying in that same spot. But sometimes we quench the Holy Spirit. Have we ever quenched the Holy Spirit? I know it's not found in Scripture, but a lot of times I say, Holy Spirit, forgive me for quenching you. I've said that numerous times. but it's not found, you ask for forgiveness from God. I ask the Lord for forgiveness, and I was like, Holy Spirit, forgive me for quenching you. I know that's not found in Scripture. But it's just like, I know I quench him. But the Holy Spirit wants to move you forward. He desires you to meditate on his word, to prepare us and to transform us each day. It's a daily walk. So when I don't meditate on the word, temptation comes more. Because our guard's down. We're not having the full armor of God on. Then wrong attitudes start to grow up. Those weeds start to come up. As I surrender, I remember to lay down those attitudes by allowing the Holy Spirit to renew me through the washing of the word and cleansing of the blood of Christ. You know, and as we read verse 18, I'll go with Romans 7:18. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing dwells good. For it to will is present within, with me. For now, to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil will not to do that I practice. There's a battle. The old nature and the new nature. It's a conflict that every believer goes through. You know, Paul has this desire to obey God's law, but in his current condition, it's impossible. It's impossible because we try and do it in our own strength. The law exposes our sinfulness. The law exposes, and it really talks about how holy and righteous God is. The law is holy and righteous. The law, so Paul is like, I know I can't do this in my own strength. I can't do this. And often we try and do it in our own strength. We get frustrated. We get bitter. We get resentful. We get mad at God at times. Because we think, Lord, I shouldn't have any of these struggles of sin any longer. To be a person before you came to Christ, you don't know anything about sin. You think it's all natural. But when you come into the family of God and get adopted, now you have this battle inside. Saying, I know I should be doing this, but I'm doing this. So there's a battle that's happening. And sometimes it's hard to die to the old nature because we lived with the old nature for so long. We know what buttons it like to push. We know the things that draw us away from God. It describes a battle that's within our own lives. There's two people fighting inside of you. And which one is going to win? It's the one that you feed. Romans 7:25 says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. We should desire to live a life that honors God. Through Jesus our Lord, so then my mind, we realize he's our deliverer. Only through Christ we can be delivered from sin. Only through Christ we can be set free. He did not simply come to forgive your sins. That's one part of it. The sometimes we all say, well, I'll just come to Christ, receive the Lord Jesus, and live my own life. Right? You hear a lot of people like, well, I'm good. I serve the Lord. I received Jesus as a child. I'm good. I can live my life however I want now. And you see the majority of the church living that way. Living as part of the world after Sunday. So he came to inhabit your mortal body. The Holy Spirit indwells in the believer. He's making his indwelling presence in your life so that your life would be an instrument for him. And do we desire to be used by God, to be an instrument for him? So what is your mindset? Am I good because I received Christ and I can just live however I want? Or do I desire to live a life that is continually dependent on the Lord, to be used by him, to be his hands and his feet, to be his instrument? So you're a container of God. Because the word says, be holy for I am holy. If you love me, you would do the things I've asked you to do. We see throughout scriptures that God asks us to live holy lives. Not to allow sin to be a dominion over our lives anymore. Not to live as the old man, but live in the freedom of the new nature. To live and be his examples. And sometimes we fail. More often we fail a lot. You know, as we... only Christ living in us can give us the power to have victorious victory over the old nature. It's only Christ gives us victorious power over the sinful nature. And as we surrender to him, we find his power to be real and his word to be true. We learn that we cannot struggle victorious in our own strength. We try to do things. There's a struggle. It's like, do I really want to trust God? Do I really want to let it go? Or do I want to do it in my own strength? So everyone struggles. God wants to take charge of your life through the presence of the Holy Spirit. We have to yield to him. That's another one like sometimes we struggle with. Like, I want to yield, but I don't. Like, what happens if I yield a little more each day? So, as we say, Holy Spirit, because a lot of times we know Psalm 139 says, you know, search my heart, O Lord. Reveal anything in my life that needs to be dealt with. When we ask and pray about that, are we genuine about that? Are we genuine when the Holy Spirit points things out and says, Lord, do you take this from me? Or do we really kind of leave it, take it from the cross again, pick it up and go back into it? So two natures that contend in the field of my consciousness. Because there's two things that go in our mind. It's like Jackal and Hyde. Right? You read Jackal and Hyde, it's just like this one person on these days, and the next thing he's the totally opposite. And sometimes we're like Jackal and Hyde. So Romans 7:18 says, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. That's so true. I can't carry it out. The good news is that Christ enables you to live it out. It's him that gives you the strength. He's the one who empowers you. Struggling with sin is frustrating. You want to be changed, but you can't. You can't do it in your own strength. You desire to do what is right. Sometimes you can't. Romans 3:20 says, No one will be declared righteous by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. So it's only Romans 3:20. So the law exposes it. Through the law, we become conscious of sin, but the law does not make us holy. God, Jesus, is the one who makes us holy. He's the one, by his precious blood, by going to the cross, being crucified, he imputes his holiness and righteousness to us. He gives us his strength, his power, to live this life that we are living, this journey that we're on. It's only through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that we can live a life that honors God. So it boils down to this: are you willing to stop trying to fix everything yourself? If you're willing and ready to do that, the Holy Spirit is willing to help you. As a believer, if you're not a believer, then you need to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, the Lord helps us. He helps us to, he reveals to us our sin. And he's, in 1 John 1:9, it says, "For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." So as the Holy Spirit reveals sin in our life, we could ignore him or repent of it. Say, "Lord, I repent of this sin that you're bringing to my mind right now that you want me to deal with." So because 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, but if you say you never sin, then you make him out to be a liar, because he reveals things in our lives that need to be dealt with. So Jesus, by the work of the Holy Spirit, empowers us. Continue to work out of your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and act according to his good purpose. Philippians 2:12-13. So what is our part? To surrender. To yield. To give it up, to let it go. You know, sometimes when you're praising God, we always have our hands open. It's like, "Lord, take this from me." Your hands are open and say, "Lord, take this from me." Sometimes we'll have our hands closed fists. We're like, "God won't try and pry it from you. It has to be from your heart." It's like, "Lord, I really want you to take this from me. Take this desire away." Are you tired of struggling with that sin? What scripture does it say? It says, throw off every sin that easily entangles you. Hebrews 12:1. It says, throw off every sin that hinders you. That's Hebrews 12:1-2. I know Matthew 11:28 says, Jesus said this, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And I will give you rest. Verse 29. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Do we run to the Lord? Sometimes I'm a little slow. Sometimes I feel like I have an anvil pulling me back. So guard your heart and mind. Psalm 51:10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Create in me a clean heart, Lord. And when we come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior, He gives us a new heart, cleanses our hearts. He gives us a new heart. But sometimes we could get hardened and calloused by the things of this world, and through circumstances I get bitter and resentful towards God. And my heart slowly hardens. And slowly I don't want anything to do with God. I slowly walk away from God. And I'd be like, "Lord," but if we find ourselves walking away from the Lord, call out to Him. Repent. Ask people to help you, come alongside of you. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not conform to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is what we, you know, the Holy Spirit empowers you to do this, but it has to be a choice. We will continue to struggle as long as the old man is stronger than the spirit man. So if the old nature is stronger than, if we don't read the Word of God, if we don't meditate on the Word of God, if we don't spend time with God, if you don't do none of that, you will become weak. You will become feeble. It's kind of hard. It's like going into battle as a soldier, and you've never been trained properly, if you're not keeping up your training, or even a marathon runner. Marathon runners still have to train daily. They still have to run so many kilometers. They run like 10 kilometers one day, a day of rest or something, a small little run, 30 kilometers one day, back to 10 kilometers, so it gives your body rest. Are we resting in the Lord? Are we meditating on His Word, chewing on His Word, allowing His Word to feed us and give us strength and encouragement? Galatians 5:16-18 says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." So there's that battle. And these are the contrary to the one, they are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you obey, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Psalm 119:103. "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Is the Word of God sweet to you? Do you love tasting the Word of God every day? Sometimes we don't. Jeremiah 15:16. "Your words are found, and I ate them. And your words was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O God, O Lord God of hosts. And your words was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." So reading and praying, having quiet time, being renewed in your mind, being strengthened for the battle each day. Are we tasting and eating from the Word of God? Are we allowing the Word of God to overflow us with joy and contentment? When we read the Word of God, when I read the Word of God, it really nourishes me. It strengthens me. That I actually say, Lord, thank you that you're doing this in me. That all I had to do was yield to you and surrender what it is that you asked me to surrender. I finish with Job 4:4. Your words have upheld him who was stumbling. And you have strengthened the feeble knees. I think I love that one because for your words have upheld him who was stumbling. Sometimes we're stumbling. Sometimes we have feeble knees. We stagger around. But the Word of God strengthens us. Then as we learn to be strengthened by him and to trust him and rely on him, then the frustrations, I think, will go away because we're not trying to do it in our own strength. But when we realize it's not me doing it, the striving ends. And the desire to say, Lord, I really want to trust you in every area of my life. Help me, Lord, in this one particular area right now. And he will help you in that area. And eventually, the next area of your life. And eventually, another area of life. And eventually, more and more in your life. And then before you know it, you're like, wow, that sin that was so easy entangling me no longer has a grip on me. I no longer go back to that sin. I no longer go back to this or this or that because my walk with him is getting stronger and healthier. It all begins with yielding and trusting. I think of, you know, even old wretched man I am, it's just like amazing grace. When you think about how amazing grace, he who wrote that was a slave trader. And all the terrible things that he did. And then when he came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, his life was transformed. It's John Newton, isn't it? You think about John Newton. What he was doing before he came to Christ. He put his faith and trust in Christ. And throughout his life, God proved he was faithful. As we put our faith and trust in Christ every day, he will continue to prove that he's faithful. So, Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, thank you that by your Holy Spirit, you enable us to live a life that you have called us to live. Lord, I pray that if we are feeling frustrated and tired and weary, Lord, I pray that you would show us where we're not yielding to you, where we're trying to do it on our own strength. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for the new covenant that we have with you. Lord, that you have placed your Holy Spirit in our lives so we don't have to do this life on our own, that we don't have to try to do it in our own strength, or that we try to muster up these attitudes, but Lord, that we would trust you in a way that we haven't trusted you. Lord, that we would freely open up our hands and just lay whatever it is you're speaking to us about us right now, and we put at the foot of the cross. Say, Lord, take this from me. And Lord, help me to turn away from it and not to go back and pick it up again. Lord, I thank you for how you work in our lives. I thank you that you're a merciful, gracious, loving God that desires the best for his children. So Lord, help us to desire your word and that your word becomes so sweet like honey on our lips. that where we're weak, you become our strength. Thank you that when we are weak, Lord, we are made strong because it's you. Thank you for our weaknesses, Lord, because we realize that we need more and more of you every day. So, Lord, we thank you. We just pray, Lord, that as we go through this week, Lord, that we would have a hunger for your word and to meditate on your word. And, Lord, if we even stay in one scripture, one verse for the whole week and just meditate on it, Lord, I pray that it would just take root in our life. Lord, help us to grow in you, to trust and depend on you. In Jesus' name.